Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and welcome to In Transit, the series where we center the many journeys of immigrant ethnic women navigating life in Aotearoa, New Zealand, with me, your host, Hafsa. In each episode, I sit down with women who share their journeys of settling in a new land, the challenges they have faced, and the resilience that carried them through. From cultural clashes to quiet triumphs, and from moments of doubt to deep appreciation. These are raw, honest, and hopeful conversations. Whether you're new to the country or simply curious, this is your space to listen, learn, and connect. Kia ora and welcome to another episode of our podcast. And today I have another guest with me, who is Upeksha. So welcome, Upeksha.
Hello.
I think it's best we start with an introduction about yourself, you know, who you are and where you're from and what you do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Upeksha Valisundara. I'm Sri Lanka. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Canterbury. I'm doing my PhD in the field of education. When I was in Sri Lanka, I work at a university. I work as a senior lecturer there. So yes, I'm here with my family, my two kids and my husband. So it's been almost 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so over the 3 years, I think the first question I want to ask about you is, Upeksha, is why did you decide to come to New Zealand?
It's mainly because being an academic, I always wanted to do my PhD because in Sri Lanka, like, we have some limited resources. So some of the exposure, which I thought I might not be able to get for my PhD. So I wanted to broaden my perspectives, broaden my knowledge, my exposure. So that's actually the major reason I thought of coming to New Zealand. And the other reason is I'm not on a scholarship. I'm a fee living student. So New Zealand is a country which I found that I could afford the living cost and the education fees and everything. And I thought it's one of the good countries for my kids, for their education. So all those things motivated me to come to New Zealand.
Nice. So how has this move been for you, like coming from Sri Lanka to New Zealand? How did the first few years of your study go?
It's actually challenging. Because initially, it's me who came to New Zealand. So I was here for a short period. So it was not easy. That was my first time without being my family, my kids, my husband. So that was honestly not easy. I had this, like, everyone was talking about the cultural shock. So I experienced it myself. And I was like, I stayed with a family, another migrant family. So I miss my family a lot. And I had this cultural shock. So, but at the same time, within the 3 years, I learned a lot with my exposure, with working part-time. So I learned a lot from this Kiwi culture, from this new environment, with the exposure. I think I have... Overall, I have improved myself a lot.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the cultural shock that you're speaking of. Like, give me some examples.
So It starts right from the language, because in Sri Lanka, we have two main languages, Sinhala and Tamil. So here, after coming here, and the English that I spoke back in Sri Lanka, it's not what I hear. The accent, the pronunciation. So very few months, 6 to 7 months, actually, most of the things that people spoke, I didn't hear. And then Sri Lanka is a very kind of conservative, very traditional. We have our own norms, we have our beliefs. But here in New Zealand, it's a multicultural, and most of the time, people are very westernized. So right from the way that they speak, the way that they dress. And so all those things were kind of new to me. And in Sri Lanka, it's we mainly have our religion. So it's a religious based country. So here, most of the people, they don't believe in God. So that is also something kind of a cultural shock, which I experienced with my initial exposure. But now everything... I think I have adjusted and adopted to New Zealand, culture, the Kiwi culture, very effectively and very successfully.
Mm-hmm. So the language, you think, was, it was hard. So when you came to New Zealand, I know you said you came alone. When did you arrive? Weather was it? And what do you remember about the first day?
Because in Sri Lanka, it's a very hot, the weather is very hot because we don't have seasons there. So I came here when it was winter. So it was very harsh for me. It was very hard for me. On one hand, everything was new and I was alone. And then the weather. So I was full of challenges. So many things were on my plate. I didn't know where to seek support. And I came for my doctoral, PhD, and people were it's they are having their own people, their own circles, not like those who are doing masters and bachelors, less contacts. People have their own circles. So it was not easy for me. It was a very hard journey. Yes.
So how did you build your connections?
Actually, first year, it was not very easy. But when my family came and when my husband found a job, gradually, I started to build myself. Initially, I was staying inside, not going outside, not moving with the people. And I was thinking about, because in Sri Lanka, I was recognized, we were maintaining a kind of a status, and I had a good job, we had properties, everything. But when I came here, I had to start from the scratch. So that was a kind of a shock for me. So what happened after that was my husband, he got a job, and then my kids started to go to school, and then I had my confirmation in my PhD. Then after that, I thought of, I had to change myself because I came here, I spent all my savings. So I wanted to have that exposure. I wanted to open a new chapter in my life. So what did I did was I started to take part in some community gatherings and some workshops. So one of the workshops, the Lady Khadija's, the leadership one, that was, I think that was my initial step to coming out of my shell. So there also I started to, I met so many people. And when I heard the stories, the experiences of the people, then I thought, the experience which I had, it was not only for me, almost all the migrants, they were having the same experience. So I started to change my perspectives to looking at the life, to looking at my experiences, my challenges. Then I started to going out and building confidence, and started to sharpen, to polish up my skills. Yeah. And to start a new beginning to my life.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. So new beginning. That's how you had to do it, because, And that has come up quite a few times that and in the with the people I have spoken to as well, that one of the things that happens is that all the experience we had, all the knowledge we had in our other countries, that is not valid here.
Exactly, because I before I coming here, I have two masters, and I have completed my bachelor's. Then I have over a decade of teaching experience. Then I thought, like, when I came here, like, I could find some part-time job. But when I started to apply, and I realized that the qualification which I completed overseas, that they are not recognized here. So that was another challenge I had to face after coming to New Zealand. But then I started to like think positively of that. So I came here because I wanted to do my PhD in a country which is a developed country where they have like more qualified lecturers, more qualified people. So then I thought, okay, I'll take the challenge. I'll get the qualification, and after that I'll build up myself from that point. So I started to lay out my foundation.
So what I'm hearing, Peksha, is that when you face those challenges, you had to have a different mindset to look at these challenges.
Yes, because initially I was honestly stressed out because nothing worked out for me. Then I started to think about no. I have to face the challenges because I told you, like, initially I was inside the house, I was not going outside. But when I started to go outside and started to take part in the workshops, when I listened to other people's stories, then I realized this was not just my story. It applies to everyone, all the migrant people, because they started from the scratch. But if I like thinking about those things and worrying about those things, getting stressed out, I might not lead myself nowhere. But what I have to do is, like, here, listening to the stories of the people who are doing better jobs. I mean, the migrants, they also had the similar experience when they migrated to this country initially, but they build up themselves. They develop their qualities, they had the qualifications, they gain those things. And they now in a better position. So I thought I was determined to reach up to that level. Then I started to like think positively, and I hope maybe after completing my PhD, I might able to achieve a better position, because the way I thought is not the way I think in my third year. The way I look at the problems, my struggles, my challenges, the way I stressed out, it's not the way now I look at the challenges. Now look, the way I cope with the challenges, the struggles, I'm changing myself with the experience, exposure, and thinking and listening to other people's experiences. Every day I'm learning something, even from my kids.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about your kids, because
Yeah.
I'm guessing moving from Sri Lanka to New Zealand would have been a big shift for them. How
Yeah.
they go with that shift?
My kids, like my younger son, he was 2.5 when he came here, and my older one, he was like he was 4 or 5 years old, almost 5 years old. So it was a big challenge for them. But luckily, they went to international school back in Sri Lanka. So language was not a problem for them. I think it's a big advantage for them because they didn't have to grapple with the language. They could able to communicate with their friends. But I think for them, like, they started to realize, and one day, like, they asked, they started to realize, and that there are people with different colors, because in Sri Lanka, like, we are almost in the same color. But then that is a kind of a shocking thing for them. They realize that there are people with different complexion. So that was, I think, the biggest realization or the biggest shock that they had when they came here. Language was not a barrier for them as they already used that in Sri Lanka. But as I told you, just like their mother, now like everything is settled. That was the initial period. And my little one, now he thinks that he's a Kiwi actually. He thinks like whatever the thing that he doing like all the time he says this is what Kiwi people do, this is what Kiwi people eat. So now he thinks himself as a Kiwi. So yes, the time is doing much of the wonders and much of the amazing things and changing the people. I mean, not only the adults but even the kids.
So I know your kids said, it's just behaving more like, the Kiwi culture adopting there. So for you, as someone who's grown up in Sri Lanka, how do you feel about that?
You mean the Kiwi culture?
Yeah, in the sense of your kids adopting the Kiwi lifestyle or the Kiwi culture.
I'm not against it. I do have observed that in New Zealand, like they encourage people, I mean the kids, for them to be more independent, which in Sri Lanka, like even we become adults, we try to depend on our parents. Because it was my mother who look after my kids. And so that is not only me, like all the, I mean, it's very common in Asian countries. But here, like, I have realized the kids, like, they started to become very independent. I don't mind my kids are getting independent, like standing on their own feet. But at the same time, I want them to embrace our culture, not to be very westernized. And to be religious because we are Buddhist. So I want to have the both sides in a kind of a balanced manner, not to torn apart two worlds and to feel that they are lost. I don't want them to forget where they belong, their roots. I don't want them to forget that. So we all the time participate in the functions and the festivals which are organized by the temple. So I want them to have that culture, their root within themselves. At the same time, I don't mind they are getting independent and they are embracing this culture, but I want to them to have their roots where they belong.
So it's basically making sure that you have the best of both cultures then.
Yes, to get what suit us and to move.
All
Yes.
right. So I guess my next question is around you now spend about 3 years in New Zealand. And so what has been one of the most striking difference between the place you migrated from in New Zealand? What are some of the differences you've noticed?
Starting with the climate. And then, as I told you, the traditions and the religion, because here I don't see like most of the people that they are believing in God. Now, for instance, like one day one of my sons, he came me like accidentally, he told in the class, "Oh my God." And his friends asked, "Who's God?" And he was asking, "Mommy, how to explain it?" I got stuck. How to explain it? So I was also stuck. I don't know how to explain it. So that is one of the differences. And then climate, and then the people here are more independent, as I told you before. But in Sri Lanka, we always have the connections. We are having close connection with the family. I mean, parents, relatives, friends. But here, I think people they want to have more privacy, as well as the autonomy. But in Sri Lanka, like all the time, what we do is we try to mingle with other people, And the other thing is, like, I think this is common in Asian countries. Like, we maintain status, we think about it a lot. But here, I think even you do whatever the job, that people don't mind it a lot. So that mentality is not there, what we had back in Sri Lanka. I mean, the way that the people see maybe for different jobs, their reactions, so that is something different. And here people like to be with the nature, and they value the time that they spend with their family. So they have this work-life balance. So, but I think back in my country, like sometimes we didn't have this work-life balance. Sometimes, like, we work a lot, so we didn't sometimes have much time to spend with the family, but still we like to have the family bonds more than the people are having it here, to be with the friends, the parents and the relatives. We are more connected.
Those are some very beautiful observations about what New Zealand, the differences in that, in the culture. So I think what I want to ask you now is about the challenges you faced. I know you said about the initial challenges around social networks. And some of those areas about, having connections and growing connections. But were there some any other challenges? Like if we were to look at it from you as an individual, plus also looking at it from a family perspective for you.
The major challenge which I faced was language. I mean the accent and the pronunciations, because when I have noticed, like, when I speak to migrants, it doesn't matter a lot. But when I speak to native speakers, sometimes I change my accent, because I think that is one of the things. Sometimes, like, they would prefer to talk much when you have a kind of a accented English. So not the English which comes with compounded with our first language. So sometimes I try to, when I try to mingle with them, when I try to make my social network broaden it, sometimes I use accented English, because I have experience, they prefer to have communicate more with the native speakers. I think it's because of the pronunciations, the accent issue. And that is one of the challenges I had. Then looking after my kids and doing my studies and doing everything at home, because in my country, like, we had this supportive network. I mean, we have people to look after the kids, we have people to clean, we have people to cook. But now here, everything is on my shoulders, and I have to meet the deadlines. My supervisors, they are telling, you have to complete this, you have to complete that. So sometimes it's very stressful for me. And then, like, financially also, my husband and I had very good jobs. Our salaries were really good. So here, like, my husband, he's working full time, and I'm fully focusing on my studies. So that challenge is also there, because in Sri Lanka, money was not a kind of a, like, big issue for us. But here, like, we have to think about, like, before buying something, spending something, we have to think twice. So that is also one of the issues. And then, like, I also think about my kids, because my older son is 7 years old. So sometimes when he behaves in a way that we don't accept, it makes me to think, oh my God, did I take a kind of a wrong decision? Because, as I told you, I don't mind that they are, like, embracing a different, the Kiwi culture, but at the same time, I want them to see, I want them to raise them in a culture that we value. So sometimes that they are also become adopting to which culture, Sometimes they are also, I think, a little bit confused. So the raising the kids, sometimes I experience some challenges. Then, yeah, those are some of the challenges that I have been experiencing so far.
Which I think, which I, you know, you have one of the things that you mentioned about children is, I think, comes up a lot of times because our expectations and our value systems are a little bit different to what the New Zealand culture is, and that is where there's that conflict and can be challenging to think about as a parent. In terms of managing expectations with our children as well. Yeah. And I think there are a lot of, I've heard this from a few parents now about that expectation around managing that. But I think when you said that, you know, you are trying to take the best of both worlds and trying to do that always take is hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's not an easy. I have my academic work, then I have to think about my kids, because ultimately what matters most is the way that we raise our kids. It's not our studies, it's not our career, it's not our savings. Ultimately what matters a lot is our kids. So it's challenging, but I'm balancing. Yes, but sometimes like there are challenges, so many challenges. Now, for instance, now today also my son, like he left the jacket in the class, so I was like asking him to bring it, and he was playing the football. So I quickly switched to Sinhala, and I said in a very strict manner in my native language, "You have to go and bring it." And he was asking, "Mommy, why are you always using Sinhala when you want to tell something?" Kind of a very strict manner. So like I really felt embarrassed because the other parents also heard it. So like there are challenges like that. So I think like they are becoming more and more independent, which we don't often see back in our country.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, you know, they don't ask questions
No,
when
they
you
always
tell them something, isn't it?
obedience. Yeah.
Which I think is good and sometimes challenging.
Yeah, sometimes challenging.
I think one of the other things I wanted to ask you was around, so now that you've been here 3 years, what is it that you miss the most about Sri Lanka?
I think I miss my mother a lot because my father passed away 5 years ago. So there's this huge emotional impact being separated from my mother. And at the same time, as I mentioned before, it's not easy for being away from the familiar support systems, as I feel I have so much things on my shoulders. And then managing responsibilities, housework, meeting the academic expectations. Sometimes it's not easy, but still I have to face them because I can't turn back and go back to Sri Lanka because I came here for purpose. So I have to achieve that purpose. So even how hard they are, I have to move forward.
So, you know, and you've talked about being away from the, you know, the support systems. So over here, now that you have interacted with the community and you have, you know, kind of opened up to people in the community, have you got that support system, at least at a social level?
Yeah, sometimes like for instance, like looking after the kids, some of my Sri Lankan friends, they come and drop their kids at my place, and we go and drop our kids at their places. So we have that kind of supportive system, but we still haven't extended it with, I mean, apart from the Sri Lankan people, we haven't built up like very close connections with the I mean, Kiwis, we have some close friends, some other migrants, but not the Kiwis. I think I have to be more open and learn more about their culture to build up that close connection. Yeah, because I like we have close connections with our people because we know how to be with them, how to move with them, how to talk with them, how to have the connections and everything. But I think maybe it's me like spending less time here. Maybe over the next few years, sometimes when I grow up, when I'm getting matured, when I'm having more experience, I might open up some more connections, more opportunities.
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
like how you said grow up. I don't
Yeah.
think we all think of it that way, you know,
Yeah.
about having growing up, because
Yes.
we feel like we are already grown up. But I
Yeah.
like how you said, you know, growing up, because I think that is what it is, that, you know, as we
Yes.
keep getting or growing up, we have those newer experiences which kind of give us new perspectives to
Yes.
things, isn't it? And I think what I love about your story that you've been sharing is that how initially when you came in, you said, you know, you struggled and it was a challenge, but
Yes.
you were open to that opportunity by looking at others and going, oh, actually, it's not just me who's got the
Yes.
problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then trying to change, because change is
Yes.
hard. Change is not easy, isn't it?
Yeah. Change is not easy.
Yeah. So with your children now, and I know you mentioned about the cultural identity of them holding on to their original roots and trying to integrate with the new styles and systems here. Do you think that they will be able to navigate that as they grow up here?
Yeah, because as I mentioned, my younger son, now he's almost 5 years old, maybe because he's immature and he's very small. He thinks himself as a kiwi. So now he totally he has forgotten about his Sri Lankan identity. But my younger son, now he's balancing it very well. Sorry, my older son. He's balancing it well when he's in school, like he move with them and he's like accepting their culture because all his friends are Kiwis and he move with them nicely and in a very comfortable manner, which I didn't see when he was in his when we moved here. But now I think he's navigating everything and he's balancing it well. And I expect my younger son, now he's just 5 years old, he might also navigate well because now they are having more friends. My two kids, like when they came here, they were not like they were having so much of problems like starting from the color and they didn't get play dates and so much worries and so much troubles. But now they are like moving very comfortably and I think they are getting matured and they are moving with their friends and navigating very effectively with the experiences and with the lessons that they are learning from the incidents which is happening to them as well as which is happening around them. They are managing well.
And you know, and you spoke a little bit about the Sri Lankan identity that you are doing there. What are some of the ways in which you are reminding your children about Sri Lanka at home or outside?
Yeah, they are having a close connection with my mother, and they speak to my like relatives and our neighbors, and all the time they use our native language. And then like we have this special occasion, a function in April. It's a New Year for Sri Lankans. So all the time like we celebrate it as we did it back in Sri Lanka. We wear the traditional clothes and we go to the temple. And even like every Sunday, my son goes to the temple because there he learns about how to read Sinhala, how to write Sinha, how to write, how to read. And he learn about religion. He learn about Sri Lankan culture. So like I want him to stay close to that, not to be on another path, but to balance it. And then even at home, all the time we make sure to speak in Sinhala, even though often they reply us in English. But both, yeah, because they are comfortable with that. But both of them can understand Sinhala very well. And yes, with the religion and with the cultural and beliefs. So we all the time, my husband and myself, we all the time encourage with them not to forget their roots.
And what do they say? Because my children are half of the time they're just going, Mom, that is true for you. It's not true for us.
They are having like some arguments as well, like they are trying to justify themselves, which we didn't do when we were kids, so which we don't like, because in Sri Lanka, like it's always you have to obey your parents, you have to be very disciplined, you should not retort. But then like at the same time, and my kids, like they remind me, because I used to, in my first and second year, I used to use my index finger and say, "You should not do it." And my son told me, "Mommy, here in New Zealand, now you're in New Zealand, you should not use your index finger because it's bad and people might." So now I don't use it. So there are like challenges, there are conflicts like that. But I think adjusting and managing well.
Yeah, no, I think that is, yeah, that's nice that, sometimes they teach us as well.
Yes,
Yeah,
you should not
no,
do it here. Yeah, they like tell you should not do it here. So honestly, I also get a little bit scared to
yeah,
it.
so yeah, I know. I think it's always everyday learning with children, isn't it?
Yes,
And
yeah.
because we are the first set of parents who are growing up their children here in New Zealand, we are also learning quite a lot. Yeah. So, if you and from your experience so far in New Zealand, if you were to give advice to someone who was coming from Sri Lanka to New Zealand, what advice would you give them?
I think the very first thing is always we have to open to learning, even it's from the kids or even it's from, I mean, from anyone. We, because this is a new culture, this is a new environment, this is a new country, so we should not like firm in our belief with our perspectives. We have to be very open. We have to open to learning. And the other thing is we have to improve our communication skills, because now my in my PhD, my research is even about the language challenges about the Sri Lankan migrant nurses. So the very first thing that they have pointed out is the accent problem, the pronunciation problem during their like 6 or 7 months. But after they like getting familiar with the language, when they have the rich vocabulary, when they started to improve their the communication, they started to have more friends. They started to like communicate with people more easily. They didn't feel the isolation that they had feel when they were during their first few years. So I think the communication is very, very important. And then you have to open to learn from other people. You have to respect other people. And also you have to build some professional relationships with other people. For that, what you can do is join. There are different clubs, there are different groups. So you can learn a lot from those people. Their culture, the way that we have to move with them, the things that we should not talk to other people. Now, for instance, one of my friends told me, she was telling about one of the people here. She told that you look so nice because you have gone down. But then that person, she got really annoyed because it's not nice to say here, the comment on the figure.
Oh.
So yeah, so but in Sri Lanka it's something very normal. So
Yeah,
if somebody
I
says,
agree.
you have gone down, it's a kind of a compliment.
Yeah, that you've
So
lost weight.
you lost weight. I think so. Those things are also very important, the way that you interact with people. So for that, you have to mingle with people. You have to like have connections. And for that, the main thing is you have to have a good communication skills. You have to be very friendly. You have to respect each other. So your language should be very strong. And the other thing is, when you understand the locals, their lifestyle, their belief, the way that they communicate. So those things, I think, immensely help you to getting into this society rather than like getting depressed and getting isolated and like having a kind of an isolated life. So the other thing is, at the same time, even though that you have migrated here, you moved here, the people, they don't say that you have to completely forget your culture, your identity, your religion. You can hold on to your cultural identity because even at schools also, like sometimes they have these cultural shows, cultural clothing days. So this is a free country, like people respect each other, lingual and multicultural country. So I think it's the way that you think, it's the way that you behave, it's the way that you embrace the things and the way that you respect each other's values, culture. I think those things are very important.
Yeah, I think you put it very nicely to help other people who might be thinking of coming here to just, think about these points when they come here. So, you've spoken about everything, and I think we are kind of towards the end of our chat. So my next question is around, do you feel like New Zealand is home for you? Do you feel like you belong? You have acceptance and belonging here?
I honestly love to be here in New Zealand, but I honestly don't feel New Zealand as my home because I had been living in Sri Lanka more than 30 years. So I mean, my connections, my friends, my relatives, everyone is there. And I feel that we belong to Sri Lanka, honestly. Yeah, and it's because it's just 3 years,
No,
more than,
absolutely.
yeah. But on the other hand, my kids, like they came here when they were very small, so I'm pretty sure that they would feel New Zealand as their home. Yes.
No, I agree. I agree. I have the same thing with my children. For them, this is the environment they have grown up in, so
Exactly, yeah.
they connect with this. All right. I
Yes.
think that has been a lovely conversation, Upeksha. Thank you so much for
Thank
talking
you, Dr.
to me.
Kapsa, for giving me the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on In Transit. If today's story moved you, taught you something new, or simply made you feel seen, we'd love for you to share this episode with someone else. Also, don't forget to tune in to Plains Media for the next episode. Until next time, remember, your story matters.